You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Coming up today, we'll talk to Will about his experience seeing the Nutcracker and the Four Realms at the El Capitan Theater and the very cool live entertainment they have before the movie. Amanda Rapkin of Broadway LA Unplugged joins us to talk about all of her projects, and there's a very exciting new musical about the real-life courtship of Ron and Nancy Reagan, the President and the First Lady, called In a Booth at Chasen's. We'll talk to the stars.
It's curtains up on another episode of West of Broadway, a celebration of musical theater in Los Angeles. I'm celebrity publicist and theater veteran Will Armstrong, along with radio host, writer, and theater enthusiast Lara Scott. Welcome! We're very excited to talk to Amanda Rapkin and her work with Broadway LA Unplugged. But first, let's get to some LA buzz.
Yes, tickets are on sale now for Ragtime, the musical. It's playing at the Pasadena Playhouse February 5th to March 3rd. This great American musical returns to Los Angeles for its first major production in 20 years and tells the story of three families at the turn of the 20th century in pursuit of the American dream. For information and tickets, check out PasadenaPlayhouse.org. Well, Will, you were not too far from Pasadena earlier this week. You were at the El Capitan Theater right in the heart of Hollywood checking out. It was opening night for Disney's The Nutcracker and the Four Realms.
I was so happy to be there. After we had Sharon, who's one of the managers for the for tickets at the El Cap, I was so excited to go there and experience it for myself, and they do not disappoint.
Right, and in that episode when we talked to Sharon, we were focusing on the fact that you get a live show when you go see a film there. It's not every showing, so you definitely want to check with them. I think it might just be on the weekends or like an opening night kind of thing. But there's always something cool happening in addition to the film. But with this one, what did you experience,
okay,
Will, when you walked in?
So we walked through the door, and I just love a Disney cast member. They're just so engaged and welcoming. They just know how to put on a show. Like, and from the moment I handed someone my ticket and I walked in, and there were so many little girls dressed like princesses, like as far as I could see, and they were buying their cotton candy and their snacks to go into the theater. And then you walk into the theater and it is just so historically beautiful and elegant and wonderful, but the energy just from every single person in the house. And what was really cool about this production or this movie is that there was this big set of a music box on the stage, and then there was like a DJ booth right there on stage. And I didn't quite understand what was going on, but they were encouraging each and every person that was there to go up and get their picture taken on stage in front of the,
an Instagram moment right there.
100%. And then all of a sudden, this, I think his name was PJ, he was the quote-unquote maestro or DJ for the evening, and he spun tunes like that in honor of all four realms. So he like took you on a musical journey beforehand, and everyone's, but he would get the crowd involved, and it was so hilarious to watch all these little kids having this theatrical experience with this guy who's just like spinning the hits and playing this music. And then he's like, when we're gonna go to the next realm, you yell, "Let's go, maestro!" And like the kids all scream, and like there were kids that weren't even screaming words back to him, just like they were watching the Beatles or something.
It was, don't act like you weren't doing it too well. It would be infectious.
It was, and then the movie started, and it was so beautiful, and so like the visual effects of this on this incredible stage in this incredible screen with the amazing Dolby sound. It was just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
It's really beautiful. It's an instant holiday classic. Oh. I went to a press screening earlier in the week. Absolutely loved the film. And I was wondering if they would have any ballet before the movie at the El Capitan. They do a great thing of tying it in.
This is what's so cool is that we had dancers from the LA Ballet Company come, and they did the pas de deux, and then they had these three ballet dancers dressed as rats, and they did like this ensemble number of the five of them.
Was it mice from the movie?
Yeah, they were mice rats. Well, I mean, they were
some kind of rodent.
Well, they become a rat king, so I thought they were a rat.
And then, or the mouse king.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, from the ballet, they're rats.
Are they rats? Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. Well, maybe I don't. Okay. Anyway,
some kind of furry, tiny creature.
Yes. And so, but this is what's super cool. Every single night for this entire season, they have a different local ballet company, whether they're from Calabasas to the a company in Culver City. Like, they just, so it's a great opportunity for all these fantastic, amazing local dancers to dance on stage for us local Angelenos and all these tourists that come through and have this amazing Hollywood movie, musical, theater, ballet, holiday experience. It's
a little
incredible.
Bit of everything. Yeah. You got your cotton candy.
Yeah. You got everything. It's great. I had a really, really great time, and I can't wait to go back.
Well, I'm glad that you had a magical night out in Hollywood, Will, with the Nutcracker and the Four Realms at the El Capitan. And for tickets and more info, because they have a lot of great stuff coming up, check out elcapitantheater.com.
You're listening to West of Broadway with Will Armstrong and Lara Scott.
Amanda Rafkin is a Los Angeles-based composer, musical director, and pianist. She's the composer of the new musical, The Lightning Howler, formerly titled 300 Bones, and is also the host, producer, pianist, and musical director of Broadway LA Unplugged, a bi-monthly acoustic cabaret show. Amanda, welcome to West of Broadway. So you're also a therapist in addition to the composing and the musical directing and the piano play, right?
Somehow that is accurate, yeah.
Wow.
Will had made a comment. He said, that probably helps you get through, right? Just with all the different hats that you're wearing. What's your favorite thing, by the way, out of all the different roles that you play?
I've got to be honest. I'm still trying to figure out exactly where the niche is, because I like the dramaturgical side, too. Like, and I'm kind of doing everything right now to figure out what exactly I want to do more of. So instead, I'm just doing everything. I really like the feeling of writing music. I think there's like a mastery to that that there isn't necessarily to the other components. I mean, I've been playing piano my whole life, so like learning how to play a song on the piano is like whatever at this point. But if you write a song and then like, especially if you get it performed, like that's just really cool. And there's a sense of accomplishment to that where you're like, there was a thing that didn't exist before, and now it's like in the world. And I think that's awesome.
Is it scary, though, putting your baby out into the world? Because you're right. It's one thing to, you know, play or perform something written by somebody else, and you can, you know, make that your own and personalize it. But, man, when it comes from your heart and soul, that's got to be kind of a different feeling.
Yep. And you know what? Some of the time, not as much, because I don't like to write lyrics. I love to have a good lyricist. And so I feel like the lyrics sometimes can be the more vulnerable piece. But in the times that I have written music and lyrics, we did at Broadway LA Unplugged, we did a mental health themed one for Mental Health Awareness Month back in like May, June. And I had imagined that Girl Interrupted would be a fantastic musical. Mm. And so I wrote a song for what I imagined that musical could be. And we performed it that night. And I was, we'll say, uncomfortable. But yeah, that was scary when I did music and lyrics. And
wow.
About 3 weeks ago, by the way, they made the announcement. Guess what's going to be a musical?
Girl Interrupted.
You're clairvoyant. Add that to your list.
You get like a royalty from that or something. Yeah. Yeah. I saw that go by on Twitter. Well, you know what? Okay, so speaking of social media, Amanda, that's how you and I connected, because I saw this account called Broadway LA Unplugged pop up. And I was like, Broadway LA Unplugged, what is this? And it was kind of the run-up to the Rodgers and Hammerstein show that you did recently, the Hotel Cafe, really cool venue here in Southern California. So let's talk a little bit about what Broadway LA Unplugged is, and we'd love to hear how Rodgers and Hammerstein night went.
Oh, man, it was so fun. So Broadway LA Unplugged, kind of in general, you know, LA is not as much of a musical theater city as I guess I wish it was. There's some great stuff out here, of course, and I, loving musical theater, just always want there to be more, of course. And so I was like, how do I do that? How can we have more? And so I decided to start this cabaret show. And I guess the unplugged part, it's a, if you remember MTV, used to have a show called Unplugged, which was like acoustic sets, you know, of people's music. And so at the cabaret, it's only ever just piano. And we use the original Broadway piano conductor scores for everything. So it's kind of like being at a rehearsal for the Broadway show in a way, because it's like all the same scores, just piano, all that. And I guess the thing that's a little different about the show is that there's always a high narrative component. So this past show, the Rodgers and Hammerstein, was probably about 50% narrative and 50% music. So there is always, like, I always talk about, you know, whatever the show is that the song is from, some background about like the production of the show. And if there's any fun facts about the show or the song we're going to do, I always do that. And obviously just like say a little bit about what the show is about, and kind of put, the idea is to kind of put the music in context. Cause I think that for me is what is missing from cabaret sometimes, is that people who go may know the songs or may not know the songs, but it's not in any specific context. And so if you don't know the show, you're kind of just like, oh, that's nice, but it doesn't mean anything. Like,
Amanda, what context. What do you think the most interesting Rodgers and Hammerstein trivia that you came across?
No. Oh, man, there's so much good stuff. There's some really good stuff about the clam bake song, but I'd rather say a different thing. That song is just silly. So I love Carousel, and I'm still really bummed I missed the revival. So that show had some really, really interesting musical treatment to it. So Rodgers had written a lot of these nuances into the music to help kind of show characters' emotional arcs, I guess. And so we did three songs from that musical, and in each one, it kind of demonstrated this. So, you know, Carrie, who's one of the kind of supplementary characters in the secondary romance, is kind of an even-keeled person, kind of more relaxed. And so she sings that really famous song, Mr. Snow, right?
Yes.
And that song has a lot of straight eighth notes. So, you know, his name is Mr. Snow, kind of the back and forth, because she's more of an even-keeled character. Whereas Julie, who's a little bit more restless, will say, her song we performed on What's the Use of Wondering. And in that song, you hear a lot of dotted eighth sixteenths. So it's What's the Use of Wondering. So it has this kind of unsteadiness to the rhythm that's supposed to kind of capture the emotional essence of that character. And we also did Soliloquy, and that's, you know, by Billy, who's Julie's man. And in that song, he actually borrows some of her, like, notation. There's that part towards the end where he's talking about, like, his daughter, once he realizes it could be a girl. And in that part of the song, he uses the same rhythm that's from Julie's songs. So it kind of shows that level of connection in the way that he's kind of taken her in to his being. And I just thought that was like the subtlety of that and the intentionality of that and like the craft, I guess, of that really I love.
Right. You're so right, Amanda, because let's say somebody gets dragged to the hotel cafe by their partner and they've never heard of Carousel. Hearing that kind of setup makes you want to go and see it immediately and helps you understand what it is that you're taking in. Yeah.
Yeah, and I love doing songs from shows that are going to be here. Like, if the show's going to be in L.A., I always pitch it, say the exact dates it's going to be here, where it's going to be here. I really want to try to get people interested in and excited about the theater and getting out to seeing live theater and having that human experience. You know, we're all on our phones and doing God knows what else all the time. And to be able to go be in the room with something that's live and that's active and it's like a living, breathing thing. I don't know. It's good for the spirit.
Well, speaking of theater and now and being a part of it, something's going on in theater in Los Angeles right now, and it's Dear Evan Hansen. I believe you saw it twice.
I saw it twice here and then once in New York last summer.
Nice. Tell me a little bit about your experience.
Here at this one?
Yeah. Like, as far as what did you think of the show and the production?
Yeah, because it's Amundsen here.
Yeah, here at the Amundsen.
Right. You know, I think it's always hard after you see the original cast, and this cast is fantastic. They did a really great job, especially given that this is the first national tour and they're stepping into obviously very big shoes after the critical acclaim of, you know, the show on Broadway. And I just think this show is really well done if you think about the actual craft. of the show. It's, to me, a perfect example of kind of all the elements of craft coming together in a really cohesive way to tell, honestly, what's really a very emotionally ambitious story.
Absolutely. And I'm sure it speaks to your therapist side as well.
No, totally. And I mean, the creators of this show are aware of the fact that it should never have been successful. Like, on paper, you know, a show about this person who kind of like tricks the family of a, you know, a suicide victim into, you know, believing something, like, and just the heavy themes and trying to make the character still likable through all of this. You know, it probably, you know, it was a hard sell in some ways. And they just did a really phenomenal job. I mean, the score is, I like the score. And if you like that type of music, then, you know, there's a lot there. The set design, I don't know if you've seen it, but, you know, the set, what they did with the set and the lighting design is just unbelievable and just helps to serve the story so much. It's a pretty book heavy show, and the scene, you know, there's a lot of scene work, and it's really, really well done. And I mean, what I think doesn't matter. The fact that everybody in the theater is crying every time I see it, you know, speaks to the excellence
exactly.
of it and the universality of it. And like, regardless of what you say about the craft, like, something's hitting in a way that matters and is impactful and, you know, is resonating with people. And that's not easy to do.
Absolutely. So you mentioned that you've been playing piano forever, but what sparked your love originally for the arts and for musical theater?
Oh, man. Well, for musical theater, the earliest musical I remember liking, I mean, I know the whole Phantom of the Opera soundtrack. Like,
sure.
I could probably do it as a one-woman show if anybody wanted to see that, which I don't think anyone's lining up for. But
Broadway LA Unplugged.
Right,
Phantom of the
Broadway
Opera.
Unplugged.
There you go.
Yes, that's right. Oh, man, the one-woman Phantom of the Opera. Oh, boy. I'm going to lose all my followers.
We'll be there. Will and I will be there.
Yeah.
We got you.
You guys and me. Fantastic. You're on a private show. You know, I think I always liked musical theater. I really did. But I think what really made me like the maniac that I am now was writing a show. I don't think until you do it, I feel like it's hard, unless you study it, of course, like in school and the study craft or whatever. I think it gives you a whole new level of appreciation for like the inner workings and the mechanics and how hard it is. Like, it's so hard to write a musical, and the step it takes, you know, 5 to 8 years to get an original show anywhere near even off Broadway. So it's, I don't know. I think that's honestly what like catapulted me into like maniac status, was writing the music for a show.
And that was The Lightning, or is The Lightning Howler?
It is now The Lightning Howler, yes. It just had a name change.
Wow. So what's happening with that? Are we going to be able to see it?
You will, actually. Yeah. We are in revisions, but we are about to, I believe, hold auditions for our next iteration of it. I think we're still tweaking a few things from the last time we did a table read. And then I think the hope is to get our cast and do a couple, you know, private readings over the course of the next couple months. And our hope is to be able to put it up in the form of like, you know, like a Park and Bark, like a staged reading kind of performance. I think maybe January-ish is kind of what we're looking at.
Really
to get
sad.
Some
yeah.
feedback. Yeah, to get some, I mean, it's pretty soon.
Well,
we've done it a handful of times.
Make sure you let us know so we can help promote when the auditions are, because some of our listeners might
wonder. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's
I think
great.
We want to have the auditions in just a couple of weeks, so I'll
Super.
Let you know.
Cool.
Perfect.
Yeah, what's the best way for everyone to just kind of keep up with you, see what's coming next with Broadway LA Unplugged and everything you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, I have, like, social media, and then Broadway LA Unplugged has its own social media. So, I mean, my stuff is just my first and last name, Amanda Raskin, and then Broadway LA Unplugged is Broadway LA _unplugged.
Perfect.
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's always all kinds of stuff going on. Yeah,
wow.
And so hopefully we'll get that up. We'd really love people's feedback on the next one. That's the goal, is to get people in there who don't necessarily know me or my collaborator super well, and kind of get them to see the show and be able to get some feedback. We want to have like a talk back or something, get some feedback on it and kind of see what's working, see what's not working, so we can keep honing the script.
I was like, well, Will and I are a little biased because we already think you're amazing, but we're so excited to see what happens. And, you know, Amanda, thank you for everything you're doing just to build a community around musical theater here in L.A. So we're so happy we discovered you, and thank you so much for joining us on West of Broadway.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun to talk about theater.
You're listening to West of Broadway with Will Armstrong and Lara Scott.
It was a first date that changed the world. In a Booth at Chasen's is a new musical about the real-life Hollywood romance of Ron and Nancy Reagan. It's at the El Portal Theater in North Hollywood November 9th through the 25th.
And we would like to welcome the president and the first lady themselves to the podcast, Kelly Dorney and Brent Shindell.
Yay,
welcome to West of Broadway. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Well, we are so excited about this musical. You know, it's one of the great things about just having so many theaters in L.A. that you have all these fresh productions happening. So maybe, I'm not sure who wants to jump in and maybe just kind of summarize, is the whole musical in one booth? How many years of the romance does it cover? Can you give us a little kind of overview of what this is going to be about?
It's not entirely in one booth the whole time. Will be a bit more exciting for our audience.
Or change of scenery.
Exactly. You're kind of watching the budding romance of these two. So it starts when they first meet on their very first date, and it leads all the way up to the marriage proposal. And then there's just a little montage at the end to kind of speed everybody through what we already knew about the Reagans. But this show, it really just concentrates on their courtship and how the two these two personalities came together.
Starts in 1949 at that first date at Chasen's, which is such a great Hollywood spot for celebrities and VIPs.
Sure.
And in 1951 is when he actually proposed marriage to her. So it's basically 2 years.
Very cool. I am in love with the photo of the two of you for the poster. What is the process for you two to get into character?
Because you look just like them.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Hair and makeup do wonders. I definitely listen to, I'm a big audiobook fan because you're in Los Angeles, you're in your car all the time.
Sure.
So I listen to a lot of books about the Reagans and really try to focus mostly on their early life. But the later years definitely... you know, it sheds a lot of light on what their early years were like too. So just a lot of research on the two of them. I tried to watch as many interviews of them together to see how their dynamic when they were together on the campaign trail and even when they were in the White House.
Yeah, I think you want to at least honor what we remember of them without trying to get into impersonation, because that's kind of a big trap to fall into. And it's easier. I think of Daniel Day-Lewis playing Abraham Lincoln in the Lincoln film, and he was so lauded for that. But, of course, we don't really know what Abraham Lincoln really looked like,
exactly.
Sounded like. But we all know what Ronald Reagan looked like and sounded like, and what Nancy Reagan looked like and sounded like. So we want to approximate that, but we also have to honor the script that's been written for us and make that script come to life and make the scenes really crackle and play with all the romantic tension and excitement that was in this this young couple's romantic story. So it's kind of walking a middle line, I think, between bringing these characters to life that we remember, at least sort of in a hazy way, and then playing the story that's in front of us, just as Brent and Kelly are as well.
And you have an incredible team putting that story together and kind of making this happen. Two-time Academy Award winner and Tony nominee Al Kasha, who wrote The Morning After from the Poseidon Adventure. I was like, yes! Multiple award-winning hit songwriter Phil Swan and acclaimed author and poet Sam Bennett. What was that like stepping into this project?
It's great to have the writers here because with any new project, you want to kind of let it grow during the rehearsal process. And they've just been... so available to us, and we come up with ideas in rehearsal, and they come up with new ideas, you know, seeing how we're playing a certain scene, and so it's just been an ongoing thing. We have to be ready every day coming in for new rewrites and new changes, and even now we're kind of just changing things on the fly left and right, but it's nice to not have it be fixed and, you know, you're stuck with it. It's more like a growing living thing that we're building right now.
It's the thing about working on a new musical. You're all discovering what works, what doesn't work, what needs to be fleshed out, what is great as is. You know, all those elements don't make sense on a page until you really see it up on a stage.
Yeah, so many stage properties, it is what it is, and you kind of try to make it work or fly as best it can, but it's nice to be able to feel like, oh, if this isn't working, maybe we could change it. We could rewrite it and make it even better.
Yeah,
so we, and these writers are so good and so understanding and sympathetic, and they just come up with great ideas on the fly, which is exciting to watch.
What was something surprising or that you didn't expect to learn from playing these two characters?
I guess this is a chapter of their lives that I really wasn't familiar with. I mean, obviously, you think of Ronald Reagan being the governor of our state and certainly the president of the country.
Of course.
It's a little before our time to know that, but we really didn't know the story of them when they were movie stars. And he was the president of the Screen Actors Guild, and he was coming out of this really hard divorce from another movie star, Jane Wyman. And the way our story takes place, I am playing Ron Reagan. He's really wrecked by that. And, of course, he kind of plays it off in his breezy, charming, laconic way. But I think what I really discovered was he was a guy with a big heart that that was really wounded by that. And that kind of brings some tension to this romance with Nancy, because he's not really sure he's able to get back into that vulnerable place again.
Not quite ready to commit. Men, they haven't changed. Am I right?
Not familiar?
I think for me, similarly, you always heard about this, how in love they were, or at least that's what I knew from their presidency and everything they talked about. And you think, oh, so they met, they fell in love, and they were immediately whisked off into this honeymoon. And it was years of kind of Nancy waiting around for Ron to, you know, put up or shut up, basically.
Yeah.
And
Sam had a great line, the writer Sam Bennett. She said something about, it's this classic case of, she says, I chased him until he finally caught me.
Yes.
And I think that really does kind of sum up their courtship in some ways.
Wow. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a romantic musical. It sounds like it's going to be something that honestly applies to a lot of relationships now. And we're glad that we get to see a lot of you two, because you're the only two characters in this, right?
That's right. It's all on us.
No pressure.
But you can take all the glory.
One of us. Oops.
Yeah.
Well, we'll let you guys know.
It's a lot. It's a nonstop show. There's not even an intermission. It just kind of speeds by and kind of maybe over before you know it. But it'll be kind of a whirlwind thing. And so Kelly and I are kind of just now realizing this roller coaster we're going to have to climb onto every single performance.
Wow. And that roller coaster is coming fast, because opening night is coming up on Sunday. Well, the press opening, I know, is Sunday, November 11th. We are so excited for you, Kelly and Brent. Thank you so much for joining us on West of Broadway. We hope everybody sees this in a booth at Chasen. 17 performances only at the El Portal Theater. You can grab tickets at inabooth@chasens.com. It's so interesting, Will, because when I think about Ron and Nancy Reagan, I don't necessarily think about them dating. Like what Brent said, you know, that was sort of part of their lives that we really don't know that much about. You think about what a scrutinized relationship that was. I feel like get a little bit of a history lesson, maybe.
No, and also a lot about love and about the wounded heart. And like you don't think about the president of the United States to be vulnerable or to go through, and like I think that really humanizes him to hear that part of the story.
I'm fascinated by this, and again, just the excitement of a brand new musical.
Sure.
And there's so much more I want to know about that.
And
but
Kelly Dorney, come on,
she's so good.
I love her.
We loved her in The World Goes Round.
Yeah,
the Candor and Ep review. It's great. So our friend Melanie is going to be there for the opening of In a Booth at Chasen, so we will be talking about that after she sees it. And that is going to do it for today. You can check us out online and catch up on previous episodes at westofbroadwaypodcast.com. You can also subscribe on iTunes. Thank you for doing that. And you can reach out to me, Lara, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Lara Scott Media.
And I'm Will Armstrong, PR, on all platforms. Thanks so much for joining us here on the podcast. And if you're looking for us, you can find us just west of Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. and there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.